Good morning. Welcome to Ananda. My name is Haridas, and this is my wife, Roma. The subject today is the Infinite Christ. When Yogananda died, many disciples, perhaps, thought that was it. And on one level, perhaps, yes, because his human body was now gone. But the fact of the matter is, with Yogananda, with Christ, with all of the great masters, they are even more with us, as he said to a disciple that was lamenting there by his tomb of the great loss. What did he say? I'm not in there. Something that she would meditate on perhaps always. He wasn't in there. As he said, he's within us and everywhere. And he said he would be more able to help us all now that he wasn't any longer confined by this body temple. And the great ones, Yogananda, Christ, they prove again and again how they are indeed with us. St. Francis proved it by his a perfect attunement with Christ. Padre Pio, how many times has Swamiji uplifted us and continued to uplift us in so many different ways by his deep attunement with the Master. And so for us, we have to, and this is our challenge every day, to find ways that we can be instruments for the divine. Remember, it's not humility to think, and there can be some confusion around this, even for those with an inner life, that it's humble to put on an act of humility, as many religious people do. That's not humility at all. That couldn't be farthest from humility. Humility is to acknowledge that God is the door. I remember, and I'm still doing it, but in the early years, Swami would give a wonderful talk, and then he would say, when people would come up to him, thank you so much, and he would say, God is the door. And I would look at his face, and I would think, wow, I would love to get to that point where I could say that, God is the door. And his face would be bathed in light and blessings, because that was what he was experiencing. Many times in lectures, afterwards, people will come up to him and they'll say something about something that he said. And he said, oh, I wish I would have thought of that. And he means it. It just came through. When we go to bed at night, often we're very happy for that, because we've had a big day and we want to go to sleep. But you know, I was meditating on that experience which we have on a regular basis every evening. Was there something deeper than just wanting to crash into the subchondrous and call it good for the day? Yes, as Yogananda's guru said, Sri Yukteswar, that we become gods at night, and then, you know, men, women during the day. We want to be gods all the time in ecstasy. And so even when we go to bed at night, there should be this thought that we become gods. When we go beyond this body, beyond this personality, and touch our infinite nature, the infinite Christ nature. And as we go to bed, just I should say before we go to bed, if we will spend time in meditation and prayer, then we will find that we go to bed with this bliss, with this feeling that we are infinite and we're resting this body for a time. We're going to float out of all of our worries and troubles, and then when we wake up, invariably we'll have this bliss. If you go to bed with bliss, you wake up with bliss. It's a very, very important thing to remember. And then when we wake up in the morning, there should be this calm, joyous expectation that God is going to use us as instruments. Because otherwise, it's just a regular old, perhaps, ho-hum day. But when we're in a state of joyous expectation, when we're rooted in stillness, rooted in our hearts, there's that thought God will come through. He will come through. He'll come through our thoughts. He'll come through our hearts. He'll come through our service. And then we take more on the attitude of Sri Gyanamata, Yogananda's most advanced woman disciple. When Yogananda would enter the room, she was always standing. She was always waiting for that inner whisper from the guru. And so after a while, what happens as we begin more and more to practice the presence of God and practice the presence of Christ, the infinite Christ in our lives, we don't want to interfere with entertaining thoughts that will derail our heightened awareness. We don't want to entertain thoughts that will shrink our heart and cloud the mind, because we're too busy being in God and serving God. And so it's a matter of continually having that appetite to be instruments for the divine and not be shocked when from time to time he uses us. Look at every day, any day, pluck it out of your consciousness. A day that happened a week ago, yesterday, a day that happened a month ago. God was there. He was using us. There were many times that our thoughts were uplifted. There were many times when our heart was expanded. It is happening. Yes, it's a great mystery, but on another level it's not, because we've gotten to the point in our spiritual evolution where we are becoming more and more aware that we are instruments, and we're humbled by that. And we don't want to run around mischievous. We're so good at that. And what do I mean by being mischievous? By constantly finding little ways to get ourselves in trouble and bogged down. We want to, if we want to be mischievous, remember it's all about transmutation, let's embrace a higher level of mischief, which the world barely knows of, where we are instruments for the divine to the extent that there's a real river of joy that's flowing through us. And people will wonder, what do you have that I want? Many times in Yogananda's life, many times people would come up to him, and whether they said it or not, they were eager to see, to look and experience this great saint, to be in his presence and to feel his vibration bathing them, healing them. And they would come away with the encouraged thought that they too, in time, with effort, could become a god. Remember in the scriptures it says, ye too are gods. And so it is not humility to think, oh, it couldn't happen here. There's a very strong thought that the ego likes to place in our consciousness day in and day out, that yes, saints are made, but it wouldn't be me. There is going to be a time when it will happen, full blown. We will experience what we've been yearning for, what we've been reading in books. We won't have to wait for it any longer. We will be perfected instruments for the divine. And so it really is an interesting place we find ourselves, because on a daily basis, especially in meditation and service, we have to, it's very important, we have to acknowledge that we are perfected children of God right now, because it's true on a soul level. But lest we stop making the effort, and this is the trick of it, we also have to remind ourselves, and this is about being grounded, that we have a ways to go. That's not something that should confuse us. On a soul level, we're in a perfected state. In this half-baked state, we're not quite done. So we have to put out the effort, a lot of effort, to get out of the way. When we were participating in a retreat in the community, it was a Kriyabandh retreat, oh, I don't know, a little while ago, time goes by, I don't think it was that long ago. We were talking about us all being assistant managers of our karma factory, which is just us. We have all this karma, And we can be CEOs and we can have the humblest of jobs. But basically, we all have the same job. We work at the karma factory. And we're not even the managers. We haven't risen to that level yet. God and the gurus, they're the managers. We're the assistant managers still learning. And we don't know a whole lot. But we do know that every day, our job is to get out of the way so that this karma can be released for good, so that the karma can well up the spine, out through the point between the eyebrows, and be gone forever, received by God. And I mention this because it's fun, and in addition, it reminds us to keep our lives simple. We don't have to overcomplicate our lives with all of these random thoughts that do no good. I was thinking the other day about meditation and thinking. And a lot of times, people think so much in meditation that they think they're meditating. Including myself. That's not meditation. Meditation is absorption. How was your meditation? It was wonderful. I thought about so many things. Well, we fall again and again, tempted by desire to check out our day and to perhaps dig around a bit in the past. The next thing we know, God flees because we told him when we sat down to pray and to meditate that this was exclusive time with him. And within a few moments, we said, well, I changed my mind. I really wanted to think about my trip that we're going to be taking. It's really going to be fun. And we wonder why our heart closes down. We wonder why the mind starts to find this veil coming over it and so on. Because we're not concentrating. We're not immersing ourselves in the spirit as we told ourselves we were going to do. And so again, I think I mentioned at that retreat, spend some quality time thinking, but not during meditation. There's a lot of times during the day when we can have a good think. And get it out of your system. Think deeply. Half a dozen times a day. While you're doing your laundry, have a good think. When you're there on the freeway and it's bumper to bumper, perfect time. Think, think, think. Think about your vacation. Root through your past. Do whatever you want, but not during meditation. And what will happen if we begin to really mean business with God, as we're making an effort to, in meditation and to tune in to the power of Christ within us, without everywhere, we will find that we're beginning to really get an appetite for meditation. And we begin to appreciate, as Yogananda said, every meditation should be deeper than the last. It's a very tall order. But we begin to make that effort. Every meditation should be deeper than the last. And we begin to see how even one thought that we entertain in our consciousness can derail us. So, we have to spend a little bit of time in the watchful state as we're meditating. The whole time. So that we don't get ourselves into trouble. And when a thought comes, see how it influences the heart. And if the heart starts to shut down, thrust that thought out as if it were poison, because it is. It's poisoning our consciousness. It's shutting our heart down. We don't want that. We want to have a meditation that is so deep that during the beginning, in the middle, and at the end, there's this stream of joy. There's this stream of love that's uninterrupted. And then as we find ourselves more and more able to be instruments for Christ and the great ones in this way, then during our day, we too find that we want to have a God-centered day. Even if we have a job right now that we consider the most boring thing that we ever have a sense of humor about it. It's not going to last. It'll be with us for a day or for a year, or for this lifetime, big deal, who cares? Find ways to animate your experience with the presence of God, and the next thing you know, you'll think, my gosh, this wasn't boring, I was boring. And we think, well, that's a revelation. I wasn't in tune. I wasn't being an instrument for Christ. Remember, as Lahiri Mahashaya, was called by Trilunga Swami, the great saint of India that lived many years. Lahiri Mahashaya, he said, was just like a little kitten. Wherever Divine Mother put him, he was content. And that's why he was able to be Whore of Whores, an accountant for 30 years under the English. It's probably a great thing, no doubt. But for me, I always think, my gosh, accounting. If they put me in the accounting office, Ananda would be bankrupt overnight. Lahiri did a good job and got many promotions during that time. I don't put it down for a moment. But Lahiri was happy to do just that, to be an instrument for the divine, when he could have done so many, many different things with his life. The saints only want to please God. Think of Yogi Ramya, who was a great soul that Yogananda met in the mid-30s. He held hands with Yogi Ramya, and he said, if I'd held hands with him for 30 more minutes, I couldn't have possibly forced myself to leave India. This was a pure saint. And yet, he just had a few disciples. I think he had an uncle, a little of this, a little of that. And Swami asked him, why, with the blessings that are flowing through you, why would you have just a few disciples when you can be reaching the multitudes? He said, very humbly, God has done what he wants through this instrument. And so, whether we're placed in high position now or in future, or perhaps in the past, or we're doing something very humble, the main thing is that we need to get out of the way to live more the life of Christ. How can we be like the masters? We can be like the masters by spending more time with them. Keep the company of the saints. They're not there in some distant planet or in some astral sphere only. They're everywhere. And the more we keep the company of the saints, we're keeping the company of stuff all the time anyway. The Sears catalog, we keep company with the Sears catalog, and if it still exists, I don't even know. We keep company with all kinds of things. Keeping company with the saints, though, is of true value. We keep the company of the saints, and they lift our consciousness, and we find ourselves no longer bewildered about who we are. We are perfected children of God. And interestingly, though, still, we have a ways to go. There is no confusion with that. We know who we are, and we know where we're going. The goal is blazing before us at all times. And so, to be instruments for the infinite Christ, the formless Christ beyond all creation, to be instruments for the Christ who, too, yes, died 2,000 years ago, but did he? No. He's alive today within our own hearts, within our own souls. Be instruments for the divine. That is our very high calling. That's the calling that we were given at birth. It's the calling that we've been given right now and forevermore. That's what we want, to be instruments for the divine. God bless you.